Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a brief but annoying message to let you know that you could have first heard this episode 9 months ago if you were a subscriber to our Iron Filing Society Patreon offering.
For the price of a pint and a St. Clement's each month, you can get up to 4 episodes a week, 9 months before the rest of the world gets them. Early access to regular episodes, lots of other marvellous benefits, and there's absolutely no adverts or brief but annoying messages like this that will get right on your tics.
Find out more and subscribe now at tftimemachine.com/ironfilings.
Here we go, this is it.
This is Top Flight Time Machine, I am Andy Dawson, pow, pow, pow.
I'm Sam Nifty Delaney, so what?
Or as they say in Germany, pow, pow, pow.
No, because W's are pronounced V's in Germany, pov. So it's pov. Pov, pov, pov,
pov.
Ich bin Andy Dawson, pov, pov, pov. Und ich bin Sam Niftein Delaney. So what?
There it is. It's the Keegan Hamburg Odyssey, Kevin Keegan in Germany. It's the ITV documentary. Brian Moore meets Kevin Keegan, and it's back on the ITV Hub, Sam. I think ITV have been listening to these podcasts and realised what a demand there is for it to be viewed, so they put it back on again last Saturday morning.
Listen, right, TV ratings, honestly, on channels like ITV4, you know, if we have just sent even a couple of thousand people who wouldn't usually have discovered this to them, their drones, you know, their gormless robot people sitting in the data analysis department, their computer would have gone beep, 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 and they'd have got straight on the phone and go, sir, they'd have got on the phone to Sir John ITV. Glass, well, why are you disturbing my luncheon? Sir, we have noticed some irregular data on ITV4. Oh, what's the meaning of this? The Kevin Keegan and Brian Moore documentary has been watched by more people than we expected.
What, five?
Good, stick it back on.
Put it on again. Put it on the ITV hub. I love that hub.
The hub.
But of
feed
course,
it to the hub.
But of course, slowly. People, of course, may or may not know that this podcast, Top Flight Time Machine, was originally pitched to ITV4 as a TV series.
Yeah, they must
because
be
we were
going to
do a thing.
Now.
It was going to be like Gogglebox, where we watched all footage.
I think Sky actually do something like that now with.
Of course, they probably do.
With
yeah,
comedians.
Yeah. Oh, you know, I think they do. Yeah.
Comedians who love footy.
Yeah. Oh, the panel show.
I love footy.
Yeah.
And they sit together and they just say hilarious banter at old games.
It's not just comedians, I think it's personalities
who love
the personalities.
Footy.
Yeah. Like Martin Kemp's son, Rowan Kemp.
I like him. Did you see him
all
in
right,
the jungle?
Fair, but it turns out
I've never
lot,
heard him on the radio, but I saw him in the jungle, and like I must admit, I was a bit like, bet this bloke's a right wanker. He looks a bit pleased himself. No, don't judge a book by his cover. He was funny and nice and very polite, well-mannered young man. And to be fair, they're good parents, Shirley and Martin Kemp.
I was going to say, if you've grown up with Martin Kemp as your dad,
you're
going to
be a good guy.
Have you seen the new series? It's starting this week, Friday, I think it is, The Kemps.
Oh, really? Like the Kardashians?
It's kind of. You know, Rhys Thomas, who he does a thing called A Year in the Life of a Year each Christmas on BBC Two.
Rhys Thomas does Down the Line.
And Down the Line as well,
I don't know if you heard them doing their, like, they hadn't, it was about 10 years old, Down the Line. It's one of my favourite ever shows. And they did a couple of lockdown specials, which weirdly they removed from BBC Sounds after like a month or something, or a few weeks. I don't know whether something, because it was a lockdown phone-in, so he came back as the character Gary Bellamy. and he was doing special lockdown. But it was funny, but it was like, it was very piss-takey of a lot of the mawkish kind of, you know, contrived sensitivity that right. surrounds the language we've all been using in lockdown about,
yeah.
you know, all that stuff about our NHS heroes and, and you know, telling everyone to stay safe. And he really, really parodied it in a really brilliant way.
Oh, man.
But I can imagine there might be complaints. So it got taken out. But anyway, if you can find it, do, because it was fucking funny. And Rhys Thomas is a really fucking funny bloke.
Rhys Thomas also directed the Brian Pern series, which Simon Day did on BBC
Four.
Brilliant as well.
Yeah, so is that where he's like a sort of a German music producer?
He's Peter Gabriel, basically.
Oh, right.
it mirrors Peter Gabriel's life and career, yeah.
Yeah.
Rhys Thomas has directed this thing, and it's got Martin and Gary Kemp, and it's a spoof documentary about their lives.
Oh, really?
So it's got them playing themselves, but, you know, spoof style. And that starts
this
week.
That's funny, because I've got someone recommended to me, a music industry insider, was telling me, and I was, you know, we were having a discussion, I was saying...
I have friends who are music industry insiders.
Really big. In fact, do you know who this guy is, what an insider he is? He used to manage Thin Lizzy.
Ooh.
Yeah. Do you know what? He'd be a great gentleman of honour, because he managed Thin Lizzy. He also, I think, managed Ultravox.
Human of honour, Sam.
Gentleman. He was also the manager...
We'll get a woman on eventually.
He was manager of Ultravox as well.
Get him on.
And he is...
Deal.
And one of his best mates is Gary Kemp. And I was talking to him about the Elton John books. It was around the time when we were obsessed with the Elton John book. Mm. And he said, yeah, it's great. And I said, what other ones do you think are great? Because I thought the Phil Collins one, which I don't think you've read yet, but is amazing.
Mm.
It's got my favourite chapter in any book of all time, which I've mentioned lots of times, which is his Live Aid chapter.
Yeah.
And he said, Gary Kemp's. Get it? So he sent it to me. He sent me a hard copy in the post. I've still got it here. I've been flicking through.
Right.
But I've always thought that Gary Kemp, unlike Martin Kemp, took himself slightly seriously. But I might be wrong about that if he's done this documentary.
No, it's from the clips I've seen of it, it's going to be very, very good.
So what channel is it on?
BBC Two, I think. I think it's Friday. I'd have to check that.
Brilliant.
But
absolutely,
this isn't gospel information. You can fucking Google it yourselves if you really want to watch it. Have a look on your EPG.
All right, I was only asking.
No, I don't mean you. I mean listeners. I mean, you know, I'll say it's Friday, and then you'll get someone going, oh, I think you're Friday, actually. It was actually Thursday at 9:30.
Yeah, there's been a lot of Lampard
and
now.
I missed it. Well, there was
a Lampard
yesterday on Twitter who said that on the Tune Machine episode, you'd said you were talking about Madonna's
Like a Prayer instead of
video.
Like a Virgin. I must say, I did feel, when he pointed that out, if that's true, I do feel a bit embarrassed by that.
Hang on, stop you there. I fucking went and played it back and you didn't mention Like a Prayer once. You said Like a Virgin about four times.
What an absolute fucking Lampard cunt.
It's all right, I told him. I told him on Twitter.
And what did he say?
I don't think he said anything. I think
he's gone to ground. He's deleted his account.
Yeah,
and
quite
fucking
right.
Rightly so. And he,
no
and
apology.
He can... Listen, mate.
No apology.
It's not often that things get to me, but I was walking along last night in the street. And I looked at my Twitter and I saw that and I thought, right, if that's true, I've made a right cunt out of myself because actually that is a real schoolboy error. And of course I know Like a Virgin and Like a Prayer were like years apart. They're completely different Madonna eras, right? It's a really embarrassing mistake to make. And he got really like that. He goes, actually, Like a Prayer was released in 1989, years later. And I thought, and he went, but don't worry, and he's trying to be honest, he said, but don't worry, Madonna often, you know, was a coming-of-age experience that dazzled all of our minds, and that's maybe what blinded you. And I thought, fucking hell. It actually got to me, I thought, I feel a bit stupid for that. And I just believed it. Thank God you fucking dug a bit deeper and got on the microfiche.
I knew he was wrong.
This bloke is... Listen, mate, if you're listening... Cancel your subscription. We don't want your money.
If you haven't already.
Cancel your Twitter.
Delete your podcast
from public. Withdraw from public life. And actually, you should do a Reggie Perrin and just disappear like out of your family's life, out of everything. Go to a local graveyard.
Yeah.
Adopt the name and identity of a child that died in childbirth in the Victorian times.
Ebenezer Montgomery.
Yes, right. I mean, I'm doing you a favour because you might avoid a lot of tax this way as well.
True, right?
And just disappear because you have made an enemy of me. And anyone tell you I'm a nice man, but if you make an enemy of me, then I will. I never forget, like an elephant. And you've tried to make a cunt out of me publicly, and you've made up lies. You've disgraced yourself. Adopt the completely delete your own identity. Replace it with that of a dead Victorian child, and then we can, you know, then I will agree to leave you alone.
Yeah, I mean, I replied to him 14 hours ago, and I says, no, he didn't. You fucking idiot. Go and listen to it again. And there's been silence.
Classic.
14 hours of silence from him.
So, coward.
Yeah.
Coward.
Absolutely.
Practicing coward.
Yeah. I don't want to encourage like a Twitter pylon or anything because that kind of thing's really bad. So I'm not going to name him. And I don't want the listeners to find the tweet.
No, definitely
and,
not.
And pile onto him. Dogpile, I think they call it. Don't do that.
Don't dogpile him.
We've dealt with it here and now.
We've dealt with it. We've given him a very fair, like, option to get out of this and make amends. So
yeah.
I'm sure he'll accept that.
Yeah, we hope so.
Now, before we get on talking about Kevin Keegan, there's a quick thing that I would usually say for a Friday episode, which is very much a sort of any other business, but I always forget then. So I just need to quickly ask you about your take on jugglers and juggling.
I've never given them a great deal of thought, to be honest. I'm not impressed.
Stupid, aren't they?
It's like magicians. Whenever I watch a magician, I just think, well, we know you're not doing actual magic. You've worked out a way of doing this to make it... To make it look like you've done something magic.
That's like my dad watching a film.
I'm not fucking impressed.
I don't go, this is ridiculous. You're watching Superman in 1980, and I'm going, oh, Dad, this is fucking brilliant. He's going, well, it's not really, because obviously he's not really flying. They've done this, he's on wires. What? We're watching Star Wars. He goes, there's no way they could operate in space like that. There's no gravity in space. They'd be floating all over the place, right? But with jugglers, the reason it came to my head was I saw Stray Man, original Stray Man.
All right, yeah.
And notice, by the way, everyone's Stray now, which is really great, isn't it? Like, we were on...
we're all Stray, are we?
Well, I went out with my mates last night and I had a Heineken Zero, but we just sat on a bench on a selection of benches on the green drinking from cans.
It's not real Stray, it's faux Stray.
Faux Stray,
It's Stray Play, I believe they call it.
Stray Play. You know what?
Yeah.
It's very entitled middle class Stray in that.
Yeah, it is.
Do you know what I mean? It's like
you
tourist.
Can go at the end of the evening.
To your warm house.
Pretending to be Stray.
It's tourism. It's Stray tourism is what
it is. Stray Play. Yeah,
Stray Play. Well, anyway, we were Stray Playing last night. And then, but also on the other night, I was with original Stray Man, and he told me that he once lived with a flatmate who was a juggler.
Can I just say, when we eventually do our festival, we're going to have a Stray Play corner. People can pay £10 to be Stray for half an hour.
Yeah, it's like a Stray workshop.
Carry on. Sorry.
And he lived with a juggler, and he said, living with a juggler is an absolute nightmare. And he said, because jugglers are so eternally impressed with themselves that they can juggle. And they just think that's it. They think once they've learned to juggle, that's it. That defines them. And they're convinced that everyone is constantly impressed by the fact that, let's be honest, they can throw some things at the same time in the air and catch them. It's throwing and catching, right? But they're delighted. He goes, I said, well, what do you mean? He goes, well, he'd follow me around the house juggling all the time. So we'd just be having a chat about, you know, the gas bill and who's going to sort that out or whatever. And while we were talking about, I'd be going around getting ready for work, and he'd just be casually juggling behind me, following me from one room to the other.
Under the guise of it being practice.
Right.
But really.
Just like...
He drops something there.
Not just practice, but like thinking, this is great for them because they get to see juggling for free all the time. Usually you'd have to pay for this. No, you don't.
Yeah.
It's telling that no juggler has ever been able to sell tickets to a juggling show. Right, jugglers only operate at best as buskers, so payment is optional. Right. Anyway,
I don't think I've ever seen a juggling busker.
I have. Covent Garden have them sometimes, and sometimes they're always on unicycles.
Fucking hell!
Right. Unicycles is another annoying thing.
Well, exactly, yeah.
Unicycles. Unicyclists are delighted with themselves, aren't they?
I'll just right, read through my copy of Get in the Sea, because I think unicyclists are in there.
Look at me, riding around on one wheel.
Yeah.
Mate, get a fucking Fuck job. Right, and anyway, he said that he said the funniest thing that happened with this juggler who he lived with was that one night they were getting ready to go out or something. It was New Year's Eve, and his sister was there, and she actually hated this juggler for obvious reasons, right? But to spite him, she'd been saying for ages, "I'm gonna fucking say something to him about this juggling. It's driving me mad. Who does he think he is? It's so irritating," right? But she did the best power play I've heard of in ages. Rather than have a right go at him, she had secretly, in a space of about less than a week, had taught herself to juggle. And so they're all sitting around, and she casually picked up some fruit. And while they were sitting there, she just casually started juggling it. And his face, he went, "What are you doing?" And she went, "What do you mean?" He went, "You're juggling." And she went, "Yeah." And he went, "But I'm the juggler." And she was really casual. Yes. I was like, "Oh, I don't really think of myself as a juggler. I mean, I can juggle, but you know, who can't?
I'm not a juggler."
And he's fucking fuming. So anyway, bit of advice there. Could have stuck this in life logistics. If you've got a juggler in your life, you know, and some people out there are unfortunate to have jugglers in their lives and you don't know what to do, that is the best way of dealing with the juggler. Just teach your juggler on YouTube. It'll take you a day.
That's a Seinfeld episode there, I think. But I'm the juggler. That's a Seinfeld catchphrase, isn't it? Just but quickly, I'm the juggler. Before we move on, getting back to magicians, my good friend on Twitter, Harry Flowers, who is a fountain of knowledge and wisdom, who lives in Australia. He always refers to magicians as hand liars.
I tell you what you can't beat, and I saw one in Isle of Wight once a few summers ago, is a terrible magician. But not as a joke, like Tommy Cooper did it. Someone, he took himself very seriously and he kept getting things wrong, and he snapped at, he got someone up from the audience and he was doing the old, you know, lie on a table, I'm going to cover you in a blanket and then pretend that I fucking chopped you in half or something, right? But he was so disorganised, right? And he was sweating and you could see him almost shaking. It might have been his first ever show, and he'd been making mistakes all the way through, and then she got up there and she didn't do exactly what he said. Like, he said, right, lie there, put the blanket over yourself. Right, now lay very still. And then he turned his back for 1 second and she sort of moved and went to sit up a bit. And that was obviously going to fuck the illusion. So he turned around and went, "Don't move!" And I was watching, it was an outdoor thing in this park, Robin Hill, in Isle of Wight, in a sort of an outdoor amphitheatre type setup. And my kids were like, "Why is the man angry?" That was entertaining. That was good.
Yeah, for you anyway.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
By the way, Andy, have you seen what I've got in my hands?
Stress balls. I have a couple of juggling balls.
Yeah, they are like juggling balls. They're stress balls that stress I balls. Bought off of Amazon. They arrived yesterday to stop me rattling. So the days of what's Delaney tapping and rattling are gone.
Yeah, it was fun while it lasted. Do you want to give them a little squeeze right up next to the microphone so we can all hear them?
Can you hear that? Probably not.
I can't
I got special silent ones.
I can't hear a thing. It's wonderful.
They come in a set of three various firmnesses. I'm currently doing soft and medium. The hard one's just a joke. You might as well just squeeze a fucking rock.
And I forgot to ask, did you turn your headphone volume down before we started as well?
Yeah, always. Oh,
That's good.
Jalapeño.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Jalapeño.
Shall we crack on with some Kevin Keegan?
Yeah.
We're at the point where Kev's manager, Harry, turns up.
This is his business manager.
Yeah, not his football manager, sorry. And Harry has got a very big moustache, but he's got one of those ones that goes right across the face and is connected to his sideburns. I think it's a bit like what Andy Carroll's got at the minute. Mutton chops.
Yeah, like Jeff from Biker Grove.
Jeff from Biker Grove, yeah. I think Jimmy Edwards, the old comedian, he had them as well. Yeah.
I've got to say, he's getting a lot of stick, but I think Andy Carroll looks great.
Oh, it's bald, yeah.
And yeah. I've always thought Andy Carroll is really handsome. He's really good looking. Mm-hmm. And obviously, I love him too. He divided opinion a little bit at West Ham, but I think he's a top bloke, right? And could have been a great footballer if it wasn't for his injury problems. Mm-hmm. And I just like him more now because he's like, fuck this. He's living out loud. That's what he's doing with those mutton chops.
Yeah.
And I salute him for it.
He's got one face and he's using it.
These are very much, in case anyone had forgotten how handsome he was, he's basically grown some arrows that point at his handsome face. So he's like walking around going, look at this, dickheads, drink it in. Look at the bone structure. Unbelievable.
And I think he's been given a one-year contract extension at Newcastle just because of his handsomeness. Well,
I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, they need all the help they can get. Steve Bruce is the Premier League's ugliest manager, which I'm sure he'd admit himself for not being cruel.
Yeah.
And so he'd probably say, look, lads, we've got a huge handsomeness deficit here. Mm-hmm. I'm putting us in the red just with my face alone. And a lad like you is going to really be a huge benefit, especially now you've grown these mutton chops. So I'm going to extend your contract by a year.
Thanks, Gaffer.
Now, just you make sure you stay handsome, though. Yeah? Stay off the pies and that, and remember to moisturise every night.
So Harry turns up with his big mutton chops, no beard, and he's got with him a big bag of shit that he wants Kev to go and look through and possibly endorse.
Look through this shit.
This is the latest shit for you to endorse, Kevin. And he gets it's a mock England shirt, but it's a pyjama top.
Yeah.
So it looks enough like an England shirt to be recognised as an England shirt, but without encroaching on any England copyright.
Yeah.
As held by Admiral, I think it was at the time. And it's got, where the badge is, it's got a European Player of the Year written on it, and it's got Kev's face and that distinctive autograph. I remembered I got Kevin Keegan's autograph in about 1983 when he was playing at Newcastle, because my dad's mate met him at some business thing and got his autograph for us.
And
even though I was
a
Sunderland fan, it was Kevin Keegan, do you know what I mean?
It's all right.
I had the autograph. It's that memorable autograph with the slanted K's at the beginning of each year.
Classic, yeah.
Really classic stuff. So it's on the pyjama top. And as Harry points out, they've missed out the year where it says European Player of the Year because it doesn't date it. So we could still be knocking these out in markets in 3 or 4 years' time.
I'm very impressed by, although, you know, I suppose you could say that was commercially cynical. I'd say it's commercially shrewd. But I'm really impressed by the way that they take the time and care to really examine every single product that he puts his name to. Like, they really examine it, don't they? Isn't there a pair of slippers or shoes and that's he's kind of bending them and stuff?
There's some red slippers and they look like Adidas trainers, but they've only got two stripes instead of three.
I like that. That's good.
There's no infringement of the copyright of Adidas.
That's good. We don't infringe your copyright. Now, are they comfortable, Harry? I mean, they're too small for me to fit my feet into. Could we get a trustworthy child that we can get to sample them for us?
Can we get a child who'll sign a non-disclosure agreement for us and, you know, not say that he's tried them? Because children are very chatty. They talk about this kind of thing in the playground, don't they?
I tell you, Harry, right, the playground is the fastest place to spread a rumour, right? And you've got to watch that.
You've got to keep the playgrounds clamped down if you can. So always get them to sign an NDA. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, Kev does like some kind of stress test on them. He's like, yeah, bending them and twisting them.
He really
them.
Wants to test out the quality of everything, which is funny, but it's also really admirable, I think, because he was one of the first footballers to have these opportunities. Now they all have them, don't they? But yeah. he was quite unique, and so he took it bloody seriously.
Of course he did. Yeah, that's the difference, isn't it? That's what makes the difference between a winner and a loser. And then Harry says, Sunday, you haven't forgotten, we're going to Nantes. So he's off on a day trip to Nantes in a private jet.
Yeah.
I'm sure that we mentioned in the last episode.
Get the private jet, Harry.
Fire up the private jet, Harry. We're off to Nantes for the day. So then we see the pair of them on the jet. Kev's got his aviator shades on. He's got his open neck wide collar shirt. He's got a nice neck chain around his neck.
This is about 10 minutes after he said that he hasn't let money or fame go to his head.
Yes.
And that him and Jean live a very simple life that is unaffected by money. Then, like, literally 10 minutes later, he is dressed up like, fuck it, like a pimp, right? Flying on a private jet from Frankfurt, from Hamburg to Nantes to check out his own football boot factory.
He says, if you saw me and Jean in the street, you wouldn't think we were millionaires. If you saw me on my private jet, then you'd know. Then you'd
then
see.
You'd fucking, then you'd think I was a lot more than a millionaire, you dickhead. it's on the plane when Harry asks him about the appearance with Thatcher, doesn't
he? What comes next, yeah. I mean, Kev's sipping something. I don't know, maybe dandelion and burdock or something. I'm sure it's not alcoholic. But, Harry says, I turned down an offer from Mrs. Thatcher, by the way. I got a phone call. She's attending a European rally in Birmingham on the 2nd. I said, no way. You've got a game that day. And Kev, you know, he's not having any of it. He says, if it was Jim Callaghan, oh, okay. If I went there with Margaret Thatcher, my old dad would kill me if he was here. Now,
and who knows what his ghost might do. I'm very conscious of his ghost being capable of all sorts of... He could have, you know, ghost spirits. They have all sorts of powers, don't they?
Yeah. And he gets a bit more in-depth with politics and stuff. He says, I can remember my dad having the chance of £25 to use our front room as a polling place for the Conservatives. And we didn't have any money, and he wouldn't take it. And I'm certainly not. Well, he's made a stand there. But as one of the listeners pointed out on Twitter last week, I haven't got the tweet to hand, I can't remember who it was. Remember that picture when Kevin Keegan and Emmeline Hughes were kissing Margaret
Thatcher?
Both
kissing her, yeah. But, you know, listen, I think that's Lampardy to hold shit like that against people because, you know, he's the captain of England, she's the Prime Minister, right? Obviously, it's not ideal, and I wouldn't be at all surprised if he'd done it and then felt, you know, like, oh, shit, I shouldn't have done that. Because these things, when you're a celebrity, I think... These things, people are constantly asking you to do shit, and you're constantly walking that fine line between wanting to be accommodating.
Yeah.
Because people are so quick with celebs to mark them down as a prima donna. People want to mark them down as prima donnas. They meet them, and they're looking for a little tidbit. You might have a 5-minute encounter with someone famous, and the majority of people, normals, right, will...
I was going to say like us, but we're kind of straddling the line a little bit these days, aren't we?
You look for, and I hear it all the time, people look for little details about the fleeting time that they met someone, and then they use that forever and ever to tell people anecdotes as if they have some meaningful insight to that person's personality.
They've had a
5-minute encounter with them. I hear people do this all the time. Like my dad, oh God, people who make commercials, like my dad used to make commercials, and like, so occasionally you have someone in your advert. And, you know, your interaction when you're making an advert with someone is, I mean, it's a completely commercial transaction. They don't want to be there. They're doing that to get their money and get out as quick as they can. But you wouldn't believe the amount of shit my dad would. Well, the thing about him is, and he'll tell you a story that is like, you know, I offered him a drink and he said no, but it was the way he said no. You could tell that he thought that, you know, our drinks were not good enough for him or something like that. And people do. Yeah. And then it grows and grows and grows from there. If you're Kevin Keegan, you're involved in those situations every day. It must drive you mad. You've been told by Ron Greenwood or whoever the England manager is, listen, the whole England squad are committed to doing an appearance at 10 Downing Street for a campaign. Keegan's thought, well, I'm the captain. If I say no, I'm not turning up, it becomes a big story. So I'll turn up. Then the photographer's standing there giving it, right, do this, do that. And you're like, ha. And then they suddenly go, can you both kiss her on the cheek? And Emmeline Hughes, probably a Tory. I don't know that for sure. I've just got a feeling, right?
Yeah,
but I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Right, he's
also,
gone.
Also, Emlyn Hughes was always very eager to please, wasn't he?
Yeah, he's gone, hee hee, all right. I've got one eye on taking over as a Questioner Sport team captain once I retire. And this is exactly the sort of thing that's going to put me at the forefront of television producers' minds. Right. And Keegan's thought, do you know what? If I suddenly say, in front of all these people and all these journalists, no, I won't.
No,
because
I'm
actually I'm a socialist
it.
And my dad
I'm
was
not
a
doing
minor.
I'm because I'll get a bollocking off me dad's ghost.
Yeah, exactly. And he goes, do you know what? Fuck it, it's a prime minister, it's a laugh, I'll kiss her cheek. And then, like, you know, 40 years later...
PM snub shock.
Exactly. And 40 years later, he's being lamparded by people going, I'll never forgive him for kissing Margaret Thatcher on the cheek. And you think, fuck off. You know, at least, you know, he didn't vote Tory.
Yeah. I suppose there's a difference, yeah, because this is the campaign, this is 79. It's the prime minister, the general election campaign. It's not like she was in power and she wanted it to do a thing.
Exactly. So when you're prime minister, I think it's a bit different because you're a head of state. It's like that time I met David Cameron in the foyer at the BBC. And, you know, I tried to sort of show him a bit of attitude. But at the same time, I was sort of thinking, I'm just stood here talking to the prime minister. And do you know what? I had, I think I suddenly became... overcome by a sense by a sort of, you know, cap doffing reverence. Yes, sir. Yes, so nurse. No, sir. Because I was with someone and she obviously knew him, right? She was a political journalist. She knew him. And he walked through the foyer, not many security with him, just a couple of like bag carriers. And she shouted, hello, Prime Minister, right? All respectful. And he turned around and went, oh, hello. And he came over, like, which I was really surprised by. And there was a lot of press outside the glass-fronted foyer of, like, New Broadcasting House. And they were all taking photos through the window. And I'm the only other person in the foyer. I'm standing with her. So she introduced me to him. I had a broken wrist, right? Because I'd fucking fallen down the escalator at Camden Town Tube Station, pissed up on sake.
And how did you get that broken wrist, young
exactly.
man?
Ah, fuck it. Yeah, good question. Glad you asked.
Good question, Doc.
She said, this is Sam. And I said, hello. I don't mean I said hello, Prime Minister, because that would have been really embarrassing. But, you know, at the time, I was probably a bit more political on Twitter than I am these days. I tried to stay out of stuff as much as possible. But I was probably writing all sorts of ludicrous invective about him, right? But when he comes over, I'm like this, oh, hello, how's it going? Right? And he went, hello, nice to meet you. And he shook my... Because, of course, these politicians, they're so fucking charming as well, right?
Yeah.
Most of them. And he shook my hand, and obviously it was in a cast. He went, oh, dear, how did you do that? And I said, fell down an escalator, didn't I? Right? And he went, oh, well, that's a shame. And then he went, well, I hope they looked after you well. I went... And this is me thinking I was being political. I went, yeah, I bloody did. The NHS do an incredible job. And he just looked back at me and went, yes, they do. Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah, what do you think I'm going to say? No, they don't. They're fancy cunts.
I'm down. Watch.
Fuck that.
You fucking watch me.
Fuck that. Yeah, you won't be getting that fixed for free for much longer, dickhead. So you better either stop slipping down fucking escalators when you're pissed up on sake, right? Or get yourself some health insurance.
Probably.
He just went, yeah, of course they do,
what
like that.
The wise there for you.
And I'm like, oh, fucking hell. All them photographers are pointing photos through the window, taking snaps of me fucking kowtowing to David Cameron.
I don't
Cameron.
Like this. I don't like the pressure.
I practically curtsied to the cunt. So, yeah, it's fun. What I'm saying is... I feel Keegan because it's funny what you can do when you're in the presence of power.
Yeah, it changes you. Yeah,
it does. Yeah, I hate to think how I'd react if I saw Boris Johnson. And he went, oh, hello, Sam Delaney. Yes, I've heard all about your podcast. Very funny. Me and Dom listen to it quite a lot. Actually, I'll be like, oh, really? Do you want to come on our Humans of Honour?
It'll only take 45 minutes. We can do it on click feed. You just need a phone.
No, you need to plug your headphones into your phone and you click through. We had a bit of trouble with Mick Talbot, but it was all right in the end. Well, yeah, I'm sure I'll be able to spare some time to do that. What will you be asking me about? I don't know, jugglers, that digging. Ghosts?
Is your dad a ghost?
And I seen him, he's alive, isn't he? At least he looks alive. Maybe he's been a ghost all along. Yeah, I bet you got some good ghosts in Downing Street, haven't you? Is Thatcher's ghost in there with you?
We'll put in an official request, see if he'll do it.
Oh, do you know what? I'm going to.
Do it.
I'm going to put in, on headed Top Flight Time Machine headed paper, which we have. I'm going to send a letter, and then what I'll do is they'll probably get back to me at some point, and I'll just, you know, and it'll probably be a no, but we'll see. Either way, it'll be content.
Exactly. That's
I'll send it today. I'll send it today. I've got the contact details for the head of press there. I'll just email it off.
That's our company mission statement, isn't it? Everything is content.
Yeah, I might write that at the top of our letterhead in really elaborate sort of script font.
TFTM Industries Limited, everything is content.
Everything is content. Dear Prime Minister, it's nifty here.
Yeah. And then when he writes back and says he can't do it, I'll send another letter back saying, I didn't want you on anyway, you just give us some free content. Thanks very much. Take
jokes
the FN content.
Jokes on you, dickhead. In the interest of fairness, I'll send the same letter to Keir Starmer and whoever is this week's leader of the Liberal Democrats, I don't know.
And UKIP. Have they got Bob one at the minute?
Bob Carroll G's. New Lib Dem leader.
Yeah. All right, I'll tell you what, we'll leave it there because we were just about to get Harry and Kev on the plane talking about the rest of Kev's itinerary on the way to Nantes. It's quite lengthy. We're nearly halfway through this thing now.
Bloody great documentary. It's well worth, for a 46-minute well dive going this deep, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, it's on ITV Hub. If you're listening to this at a time when it's not on ITV Hub, it's on the Daily Motion website, which is like the kind of darknet version of YouTube where stuff doesn't get deleted quite as easily. So some bright sparks, put it on there. That's about it for us for today. We'll be back with more of this shit within hours.
Yeah, really soon. So just keep an eye on all of it.
We can't fucking stop or be stopped. TTFN.
Everything is content.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.